The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. One fall!
It's almost time for a new chapter of Geek Catch-Up to start. But before it does, Chris and I wanted to take a moment to send our love and appreciation out to all of you for choosing to hang out with us. If you enjoy Geek Catch-Up, then make sure to slam that subscribe button and help us level up the show by leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform.
You can also find us on social media to get updates on all things GK, interact directly with us, and content from the world of geekery. Geek Ketchup Podcast on Facebook and YouTube, at Geek Ketchup Pod on Instagram and Twitter, links to all of which can be found in the show notes below and on our website, geekketchuppodcast.com.
If you'd like to support the shoe, there's even links to our Square shop where you can find official GK merchandise like shirts and stickers. And Patreon, if extra content is your thing. Above all, though, the absolute best thing you can do is spread the love for the world of geekery by sharing the Geek Catch-Up podcast with your friends and family.
Now get ready to enjoy today's show, and as always, remember to stay saucy.
If it's nerdy, we're into it.
Gaming, movies, television, wrestling, comics, whatever. We are Kyle Eckert and Chris Heck, two lifelong friends with a passion for the world of geekery.
And this is the Geek Catch-Up Podcast.
What's good, Geek Catch-Up family? I'm Kyle Eckert.
And I'm Chris Heck.
And you are listening to Season 3, Chapter 43. Today, we're joined by our friends and fellow podcasters, James and Matt, from This Week in Metropolis. We'll chat with the guys about how they got started in the world of podcasting, plans for their upcoming Season 8, and of course, what they've been geeking out on lately. Welcome, fellas. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I know that Chris and I were super excited to have you guys on our show because we came on your show and hung out, talked about geekery, and it was a really good time. And when we stopped recording, it was like, man, we could do a whole another hour. And so instantly we were eager, like, let's have them on our show for another hour. That'd be fun.
Definitely. I mean, we had, it feels like a long time ago now, but we've obviously spoken quite a bit between the four of us since then as well, over social media and such. We had such a blast that day. And like you said, we could have actually probably gone on for ages. And I think that's one of the best things about podcasting. You meet people who've got similar interests to you and you've got things to talk about and you hit it off, and it's, you know, you can make actually good friends from it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a perfect excuse to talk about this sort of stuff, isn't it? Every week, which is fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. We talk regularly that we never thought about the connection aspect of this. You know, we were like focused on ourselves and our podcast. And then now 2 years later, we've got all these friends from literally around the world now, you know, whether we've been on the shows or just connected on the social. And it's funny you brought up just being a while ago, because I was scrolling back through y'all's catalog and I saw that when we were on your show, it was like April. And I was like, man, that's not but just a couple months ago, but it does seem like it was forever ago. And we interact so much back and forth now. It's just kind of regular part of the routine.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, like we said before, it's the interest as well. And there's crossover as well. I mean, you guys, you're wrestling fans as well. I know Matt's not a massive one, but it's just, you find out things about other people as well. That I was chatting to a guy the other day who we had on our show, and it was all about comic books. And then all of a sudden he posted something football related. And I said to him, don't tell me you're a Man United fan as well, because I didn't have him down as a football fan at all. He was pure geekery.
And particularly he's Irish.
Irish.
He lives in Ireland.
Yeah, so, I mean, usually they're Liverpool fans, if they're anything. But yeah, it doesn't matter. But so, again, you find out, and he's a wrestling fan as well. I never had him down as that. So, you know, you find out things about people and you build them connection. I think that's a cool thing.
Well, do you know Kyle's a big Liverpool fan?
Oh, God. Right. I'm walking out now. Goodbye.
I'm going to
burn
shocked.
The shirt.
You spilled that tea. I don't think I've actually ever admitted that to you guys, like via all the social media. I think if you follow me on Twitter, like you kind of piece it together that I'm a Liverpool fan, but I'm not just like totally open about it, but I have a very specific way I became a Liverpool fan.
Okay.
And it's just like limited broadcasts in the United States, like especially 15 years ago. So it was like, you were either a Man U, Liverpool, Chelsea, or Arsenal at the time. Yeah. Like those were the only games that you were ever going to get. And it wasn't going to be Chelsea or Man U, like for me at the time. And I had a buddy that was an Arsenal fan, so I felt like I couldn't piggyback on him. And I was just like, okay, well, Liverpool. And then you start hearing the history and you're like, oh man, I'm the worst.
Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, to be fair, I had that growing up as well, being a United fan.
Well, the joke in the UK is that there are no Man United fans that actually live in Manchester. Because, you know, the majority of them are, like James, don't and never have been. So, yeah.
Exactly. It's like the Dallas Cowboys here or the New York Yankees. Like, you go anywhere and there's literally, like, a Cowboys bar or a Steelers bar, and you're just, like, in the middle of, you know, South Carolina, where it makes no sense.
Yeah. I think the thing that I forget as well from... maybe it's my ignorance to it, but is that, you know, in the US, the soccer's grown, obviously, huge, I think, now with the MLS and things like that. But I never thought there was that big a fan of, like, the Premier League and things like that. And then when I heard you guys talking on your first episode of the latest series, talking about FIFA and things like that, I was like,
oh, yeah.
I never knew you was a FIFA fan. So, and then you're talking about, you know, what teams to pick and what the popularity will be with what league and so forth. And I just thought, interesting. I wonder where your heads are at. So do you follow it as well, Chris? Are you a football fan? A soccer fan or?
Yeah, I'm more casual. Like, we would go to MLS games, and they're about to bring a team here to Charlotte, so that'll probably help. But I usually don't catch as many games on TV like Kyle and some of the buddies will. I love when the World Cup happens. I'm definitely one of those Americans that's just like, you know, yes, football, like, and all that kind of stuff. Like, I've become real into soccer for about, you know, a month and a half. But I've never really had a huge issue with it. I think growing up, I was just never played it. I was more into baseball and some of the other sports, whereas Kyle, like, legitimately played soccer for a long time. So
yeah. He
was ahead of the curve for us on all of that.
Yeah, I was
even FIFA. I was not a FIFA guy until Kyle drugged me into it.
It's true. But I did that where, like, I played all the sports as a kid, and then I started to hone in on soccer. And then eventually when I hit high school, I started running, like, track and field and cross country and stuff like that. And it changed a little bit. But we're talking way too much about us. We're here to say if we're going to continue to talk about soccer here. So, James, you are a Man U fan then?
I am indeed, yeah.
Yeah, Matt, do you have a team?
See, I'm not a huge football fan. However, okay. In recent sort of times, I'm a bit like Chris said, if the World Cup's on, I'll watch that and thoroughly enjoy it. The Euros happened very recently, so I watched the Euros, enjoyed that. My son's just, who's 8, has just joined a football team. So I'm now a soccer dad. As such, every Saturday, I'm there watching the team and so on and so on. So as part of his enjoyment of it, he the wonderful thing, and I think it's a great thing about sport, he got really into the Euros. He watched the Euros, saw, you know, found some, like, favourites in the England team, and then decided, I want to play and, you know, join the team. And that's been a product of that, which has been really nice to see. But I, in terms of a UK team, I grew up very close to West Ham's stadium in Upton Park. So if I ever have an honorary team, it should be West Ham.
Didn't I give you roots... a team once, Matt?
You gave me Everton for some reason.
I gave you Everton, I think, because I thought that was all right at the time. So technically, you'd be a rival to Carl. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'll throw this in here because of my FIFA video game love. If I had a Euro team or a Premier League team, it's actually Tottenham. Just because I always pick the Hotspurs for whatever reason in FIFA, so, like, that became my team.
I love the way you say it as well, Chris. Tottenham sounds Tottenham, much grander than Tottenham.
Tottenham. Or just Spurs. That's what we're here.
I've been to Spurs ground, funnily enough, been in some weird...
New or old? Yeah.
Oh, it was quite a while ago, 10 years ago plus.
Oh, so White Hart Lane, okay.
Yeah, it would be.
6 degrees of separation, Kyle, you and James are pretty much brothers because Wayne Rooney spent a bunch of time on United and Man United, so DC United and Man United.
Right? Oh, right. That's true. For a second, I thought he was going to say played for Liverpool, and I was going to have to correct you there, but no, you're right, he did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he came to DC for a little bit. Yeah. And then it kind of, when he fizzled out, it fizzled out, like, real bad. like, he did not leave. I mean, everyone kind of said, it left on amicable terms, but when he left DC, it was kind of odd. Like there was something else going on there.
The whole scenario was a little bit weird, wasn't it? He seemed to be pretty intent on getting out of there for some reason, even though he was actually doing all right there. But
yeah, I thought so. I bought the little t-shirt jersey. Like
with
I got
Rooney on it.
With Rooney on the back, yeah, yeah. I did. And
I've got several of them somewhere. Yeah. They're probably in here somewhere.
I always joke, he's the only striker I've ever bought a jersey for.
Really?
Almost all my jerseys are either defenders or like central midfielders. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm finally going to get a striker's jersey. And then he leaves like a year later.
So well, that's always handy. I mean, that's always one of the worst things. I always used to think when I was younger, whatever player I wanted it to be, like on the back of my shirt, I wanted it to be one that was going to last at least, you know, 7, 8, 9 years until they've gone off into the sunset or whatever. Yeah, Ronaldo, although I'm quite happy that he's back, so I could probably start wearing that one again, even though I had it when I was like 14 or something. But yeah.
It'll only be a little bit tight.
Yeah, just be a bit snug. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Kyle, this is historic. This is the first time we've had a real, like, soccer discussion on
Geek Ketchup. It's true. It's why I'm, like, smiling so hard. I'm like,
the
geekery
is out the window. Yeah. This has become a sports podcast now.
Sports podcast now, yeah.
Well, we try to pepper it in. But yeah, we'll dive back into some podcast stuff here because we definitely wanted to give you guys the floor for a moment to talk about your podcast, share where listeners can find you on social and the various platforms and stuff like that. And then we'll get into, you know, the origins of your podcast. Please know you do mostly interviews, but it didn't start out that way. And I know that you've got an upcoming season coming, so maybe switch gears and what that new season's going to bring. So I don't know if it's James, Matt, whichever one of you wants to take the floor here and kind of spread the word on the social accounts and platforms.
Go on, Matt.
So we try and be on absolutely everything in terms of social media with varying success on each. Instagram, I would say, is the best place to find us. That's where we probably put the most content and certainly have the most
interaction.
Interaction, that's the word I was looking for, interaction with everyone. And that is just This Week in Metropolis on Instagram. We also... mainly to our podcast is a video and audio podcast, so you can find us on all of the usual audio streaming platforms, but also you can watch us if you wish on YouTube. So you know, that's something that we do focus on a lot of video, and certainly on Instagram you'll see a lot of the excerpts of the video that we put on there as well. We are on Twitter, we are on TikTok, and we are on Facebook as well. We try to ride the trend with TikTok, and there are some videos on there for that.
Is there an official This Week in Metropolis TikTok dance? I need this.
There is, well, not that we've made up, but there are some musical themed videos on there, definitely.
Yeah, the Tom Cruise one is my favourite one. Off the TikTok one with Jerry Maguire. Oh no, yeah, it was Jerry Maguire, wasn't it?
James is having a conversation with Tom Cruise from Jerry Maguire on the phone. That's the premise of it. So check it out.
He's a good friend of the show.
Yeah, I caught that one on the Instagram story one day. It was really good. It was really good.
Thank you. Again, that's mainly down to Matt, though, as he does all the editing and stuff. But yeah, we've got season 8 coming. We're starting to record that tomorrow, so that will be dropping next Wednesday. So our episodes go out every Wednesday, usually, unless we're being a bit lazy and need a bit of extra time to do it. But usually that can be around guests with their timing as well. But yeah, so we're looking forward to starting. We've freshened it up a little bit. And yeah, it's just going to be mainly me and Matt talking about things that have happened over the last week in our metropolis. So the things that we're interested in, so that's gaming, all pop culture stuff, gaming, movies, TV, music, tech, things like that. So we try to avoid the heavy hitting subjects, because you know there's enough of that going on the TV and news and things like that. You hear about it all the time, even on social media. So we try and keep it light-hearted and have a laugh while we're doing it.
Bit of escapism for us.
No, we can definitely relate to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and John Oliver's got the last week serious stuff covered, right? You know,
exactly.
Hearing all those things, I'm thinking if it's nerdy, they're into it. That sounds familiar.
Right.
That sounds familiar. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And yet we both, probably all four of us, probably started our shows around a similar sort of time. You've been going a couple of years, yeah?
It'd be 2 years next month, yeah.
And we're, because I think you're coming up for your 50th. We not long ago had our 50th, and you have slightly longer breaks than us because we just tend to do a few weeks and then we get the itch to get back into it again. But so we all started around the same time, and yet, you know, we never knew each other until this, you know, this year.
Just the multiverse across the pond.
It is.
You know.
Yes.
James and Matt are just really me and Kyle in,
what if?
In English right? form. Yeah, what if, right? There we go. We used to talk about, we had a joke with one of the other podcasts that there was an alternate universe podcast called Nerd Mustard. And so we always joke that that's like the what if, like, alternate universe of Geek Ketchup is Nerd Mustard's out there somewhere.
I'm writing that down. Matt, we're rebranding.
I think we should, what we're going to do, James, we're going to record an episode of Nerd Mustard and set up some social accounts and put it out there and see how long it takes for you to find it.
I kind of laugh, but that might be tough because we have Nerd Mustard, all those social accounts.
Oh, yeah. We did go and get them.
We did go and get them. Yeah.
Take it out of the competition.
Nerd underscore mustard 01 comes out, you know.
Yeah.
Back to the drawing board, Matt. Something mayo. Something mayo.
Metropolis mayo.
There you go. Sorted.
Hey. Nice. So I want to say, well, you guys started out with just the two of you talking about nerdy topics and things like that, and then you transitioned into doing interviews for a number of seasons. Like, was there a specific reason why you started to gravitate towards interviews and people from around the pop culture verse?
I think it was more when we started in the very beginning, it was an extension of James and I working together and us having that conversation at work of, have you seen that movie or have you seen that trailer? And this is a really cool song, whatever it may have been. And that was our, for the first couple of seasons, just working out what we were doing, and we'd just sit down then and record and just let it flow and find our sort of groove with it. And we started to mix it up, invite friends that had a similar sort of interest, really, you know, James's friend or one of my friends, and just people we knew that would get what we wanted to do and so on. And it came to the, what season, five?
Four or five, wasn't it? Yeah.
That we started having guests, I think. From that point on, I think in a way we'd sort of got our confidence of what we were doing. And I think we'd done season four and we was really proud of what we did and thought, what can we do that's different? And started writing like a dream list almost of people we would like on there.
Sure.
And then started looking and thinking, well, who could we get and who would be good? And going through different Instagram accounts and finding people. And it just, sort of spread from that. I think it was probably what I should have said. That fifth season, we were trying to do themed, wasn't we? We thought, well, we talk about technology and we talk about music or whatever it may be. Why don't we do a whole episode dedicated to that? And we will think of, right, if, like, comedy, for example, who could we have on that's a comedian? And we looked and saw who we could find that would fit in each of those sort of episodes.
I think we was also so surprised at some of the responses we got as with interest from the people that we reached out to. Because I think we started off with, again, a couple of people that I knew through people I grew up with who had gone, one was on a talent show, but he's also an MC. We got him on to talk about music and stuff like that. But then once we started looking a bit further through, I mean, the first one we got who we didn't have any sort of connection with was the comedian, Marcus Bergman.
Marcus, yeah.
And
okay.
I'd never even heard of him. Matt had looked him up and said, oh, he might be an interesting...
I think I'd found him on YouTube or something like that and thought, oh, he's really cool. And he was from Essex as well, which is where me and James are from in the UK. So there's a bit of a connection there. So we thought, well, you know, we we like his humour. We should get on. There's going to be some sort of element to it there.
I was absolutely bricking it when he said we've got to come on. You know, the first one, you're thinking, God, like, you don't want to muck up or anything. And I think slowly but surely, the more we got on, the more confident we got. We were doing kind of question plans and things like that for all the guests that we had on. So we felt prepared, but then it flowed really nice. And then the responses that we were getting afterwards, and from you guys as well, you know, it was all positive. There was never one interview where we came off of it and went, oh, that was awful, you know.
There's the odd one, but we won't name.
We won't talk about that one.
It wasn't you guys, just to clarify. It wasn't you guys at all. Yeah.
Well covered, Matt.
It's so interesting because I know when we first started talking to you all and you had reached out and were like, hey, you all want to come on? Kyle and I were kind of looking at the folks that you had on, and, you know, there's some folks from like British TV and Eurogamer, and, you know, you've had some different folks that are in that quasi celebrity, whatever you want to call it, type stratosphere. And Kyle and I are like, we're just two dudes on a microphone, you know. We were like, kind of like, what do these guys want with us? You know. But ultimately, like, yeah, you all are really laid back. You're really easy to get along with, great conversationalists. So, like, there's no question as to why you've had good success with it. And listening through a number of your episodes, I mean, you have great conversations, and I always learn something from all the guests you have on. So it's been really cool. It's just
thank you.
Curious how that really came to be, because, yeah, like Kyle said, it was early on, and, you know, it was the two of you, and then you can tell it just evolved into
it has
guest
yeah.
almost every time.
It's happy accident though.
It is, but I'd actually like to compliment you guys as well, because having people like you guys on, I think that's what kind of inspired me and Matt to go down the route that we went down more on our season 7, the last one that we done, because we decided not to necessarily go for people from the telly or from an industry, from under the limelight. We felt
we was losing our path a little bit, in a way.
Yeah. And speaking to people with similar interests or doing a similar thing to us, like you guys do, or just people that actually we'd be interested to talk to, I think, rather. And that's not to say anything about any of the guests, because all the guests that we've had on have all been different in their own ways and interesting.
Yeah.
But we felt this one, it didn't need to be. I think we stumbled down a little bit of a trap of thinking, and it was all about kind of, you know, how many listens you get, how many views you get, and things like that. And it was...
Oh, and this people's got a really big account. Maybe they'll be really cool.
Loads of following, so they will follow us, you know. And that's... Yes, that happened in some cases, but at the end of the day, that's not why we do this. We do this because we have a laugh doing it, we enjoy doing it, and it's cool, you know. We get to talk to people around the other side of the world, so...
Right.
It's and I think the last series has actually probably been the one I've enjoyed most. I know you guys weren't on that one, but you planted
that
the seed.
No
for
relation
that.
To that.
No, but you planted the seed for that for me, because
definitely
when we started speaking to other podcasters, I think that kind of we felt a lot more confident because we can just have a chat like we are now. Whereas when there's someone of profile, let's say, you don't feel as easy, you know, unless they give that vibe that if they're
comfortable.
They
have to work harder for it a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and you're trying to make it about that person as well, to highlight them and all of that. I totally can understand that.
But we are constantly learning. I think, you know, you can't be mentioning you like listening to ours and so on and learning from it. I think, you know, we're always listening to our peers and sort of, I remember James sharing one of your ones with me and saying, oh, listen, they do talk a bit and then they do an intro and then there's like this part there. And, you know, us thinking maybe we should do that. That would be good. And we like the way that's broken up. And it's that constant exploration like that of thinking that worked. That's really cool. We like what they're doing. Maybe we should try.
Well, and taking it as far back to what Matt said when we started and having some of our friends join us. I mean, one of them's got his own segment on our show now. So, you know, question mark. You know, that's my best mate from, you know, over the years. And he's got his own segment. And all that happened there was
and
one episode.
And
he's got... So basically, he said something, and I said, I joked and said we should call this question mark when he was on one of our shows. And another of our friends in our WhatsApp group, I joked, he said, oh, you should make this a segment. I said, oh, only if you do the theme tune. The theme tune that you hear in that is our mate Ryan. And he said to me, he said, you're not going to use that. I went, we are.
Yeah.
And Matt remixed it and put a little jingle behind it. And there you go. Question mark was born.
You on the original audio, you can hear his TV in the background. He's singing it, and you can hear whatever's on in the background, and like, to chop all that out. But it's incredible. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's about community. Go ahead, Kyle.
Well, no, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's about community and meeting people and getting inspiration. And I think it's awesome that you guys kind of looked in the mirror and were like, we've kind of lost our way and we want to get back to just having fun. Because I think that's something Chris and I were very recently talking about as well. Like keeping it fun, keeping it light. That way when you get on the mic and start doing these interviews, that comes across, because if it starts to feel like work or a job or too much, like that's going to impact the interview and that's going to impact everything else. So that's really awesome to hear.
I think going back to doing it this way, what we'll try and do is have guests back on. We'd love to have you guys back on our show sometime, but what we'll try and do is make it so that you're joining in with what we talk about. So
nice.
Me and Matt tend to, on our shows, we used to bring a couple of stories each that we'd seen during the week. And what we're going to do is ask our guests to bring a story as well. So, you know, and then we'll all share our opinions on whether it's, have you heard the news? Who's going to be playing the next, whoever, you know, Batman.
Right.
You know, that's already in the bag. But, you know, it's things like that. And then you get that conversation going. And rather than it, I think that's the thing, when we're interviewing people where we've got that set question list, it felt like we were restricted a little bit. Someone said to me once, do you ever ask any sort of pressing questions just to try and get a bit of, and you don't want to ruffle the feathers. And I think that's the reason why we've got the feedback that we have, you know, that's always been relatively positive.
Yeah.
Because we're not pushy on, you know.
We felt so privileged to have that, you know, whoever it was sitting in front of us talking to us.
Because we're just, you know, like you guys, we're just two guys originally from Essex who now live in Norfolk. So, that we're not anyone really, but
we're not here to like do any gotcha moments on something like that. You know, it sounds like a lot of what you are talking about is like with Kyle. I mean, we say it all the time, like it's about spreading love for the things we love, you know, for the world of factory in this case. And that's all it's about. Like, you know, if we find people that are into that, it's like perfect, you know?
Because
there's so many people that just have such passion for things in the world of pop culture and games and wrestling and the whole nine yards. So,
that's it. And we've not been able to talk about it as much. I mean, we do obviously because we work together. So we speak to each other every day, but
we just don't record it.
We just don't record it anymore. Where we used to hold off on talking about things, you know, whatever we're watching, like What If, we mentioned that earlier. But we don't really talk about it as much. So now we'll probably carry on doing it. But now we do like the posts with our little short kind of thoughts on whatever it is, because that's kind of what's missing from the show or has been. So we're going to be able to do that more often again and, you know, talk about games. Matt's just finished playing a new game which he done a review on recently, which, you know, has got a lot of love. So, you know, all them sorts of things will come back into the show again, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I feel like you guys just fed the question that I was going to ask about your season 8, where like I did pick up on you doing a few more trailer reviews and episode reviews. I saw Matt played The Big Con, right? That was the name of that game. Like the intention awesome to bring game. Some of that back into the podcast and chatting about each week.
Exactly that. And we've already got, I think what's nice is, or what I'm particularly excited about as well, is we've got a rough idea of what we're doing for each episode, but like tomorrow we're recording recording our first one. And there are certain things that I want to talk about and I've not told James about, so they hopefully won't be disappointed. But it will, you know, and vice versa. So it's great having that. And it was like that before. I think, oh, yeah, I've really got to talk about that and sort of hide it away ready for the recording, which is really cool.
Are you going to try and ruffle his feathers? You going to You're going to ask him some tough questions?
He's going to ask me some pressing questions.
That's what I want to see on the next.
It's probably work related as well.
It'll be work related.
Worked on that job, yeah.
And what we try and do is sort of push the envelope a little bit in terms of how our production values and you know the what we're going to try and do is like screen shares of certain things when we're doing.
So visually, you won't just be seeing me and Matt all the time. We'll try and incorporate things.
It'll be have you seen this, and it'll be. How well that works, I don't know. We'll let you know.
I reckon tomorrow. By episode 9 or 10, it'll be really good.
Yeah.
Or we'll give up.
Well, that makes sense because I was going to ask, you know, since you do have the video component, if your plan was to keep that going, even if it is more just the two of you, and it sounds like you are.
Yeah, I think it was probably I can't remember what season we started putting video out there, but it was.
That was probably third or fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we always used to post it on YouTube, even if it just had a single image in the background. But yeah, once we decided, I mean, even that, stepping into doing that, you know, I never felt confident enough really to do that sort of stuff. I'm not that sort of person really, but unless I've had a few drinks. But and that's why the beer's been incorporated into the show as well. But yeah, that all came from one of our guests who we had a guy off the TV called Ricky Martin. I can't remember if we told you this when you came on ours, but Ricky Martin, who was off of a kids' TV show called Art Ninja, absolute legend of a guy. And when we messaged him and asked him to come on, again, I remember Matt telling me, he said, oh, my boys watch this. Should we see if we can get him on? I was like, we're not going to have any chance of getting him on. And then when he messaged me back, I was like, oh, God. And then the message said, can we have a beer during the show as well? I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah,
you did, wasn't it? It sounds like you two guys are just like two friends chatting in a pub or something like that. He said, didn't he? Should we have a beer? Like, yeah, okay.
And that's stayed through. But now what's funny is Matt said he notices now with me, the further the show goes on, he sees like my eyes start to glaze over and slow blinking because
there's a bit behind the scenes one. There are certain beers and like we'll stop recording and James is just sort of half gone. We've got
one beer drinking. One beer, guys.
Get those 9% alcohol beers.
Right.
Yeah. Because we also with the last series, I think it was just the last series, but we once we finished recording with our guests, we would then record the intro afterwards. So then Matt would tie it together. But obviously by that time, I've already... it's getting later in the evening, depending on what time the guys I was speaking to. And I've obviously gone through that bit. I'm tired. And Matt said he thinks I'm off my nut sometimes. It's fun.
That's why the intros are always of poorer quality than the main show. You never notice. Yeah.
Gives it the variety, you know?
Yeah. You got to start hitting record and then doing like the after hours segment. When you're toasted there. And like,
I do say to Matt, there should be like a bloopers roll of all the failed attempts. I mean, we've had times where we've been recording intros and just had like giggling fits and just can't. and Matt's gone, I can't do this. We need to come back to this another time. But yeah. That's, you know, when you're having fun when that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the magic of editing.
Yeah, the magic of it. I know that we've had a few of those moments where I just can't get something out and I'll sit there and curse to myself and this or that. And then I think of Chris on the cutting room floor just being like, I was watching Kyle lose his mind because he couldn't say this word. Like,
and now I'm going to make you sound like a genius.
Right?
Yeah.
All that editing, it kind of sounds like, Matt, you do a lot of the video editing portion of it all?
Yeah, so it's sort of... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, no, I was going to say, how did you get into that? Is that something that you had trained to do, or you just kind of learned on the fly?
It's more an interest as such that I've always had. When I was at college, I studied music technology, so that was basically using computers and so on to record music. And produce music. So I've always used technology to edit audio. So sort of going over to the video side thing wasn't a great deal different. And I sort of played around with sort of the music I'd made, making little videos for that and doing sort of basic editing of that. So doing the podcast, it then sort of brought some of those things together.
Perfect.
And especially with the sort of, I always love doing my own art and drawing and things like that. So it's really, what's really nice about the podcast, I do the theme tunes, I do the, you know, the music you hear in the background, I edit the videos and I create the covers. So it sort of enables me to draw in all the things I enjoy. Right, it scratches that creative itch, which is awesome. Which, to be honest, over the last sort of year or so, with you know, a global pandemic and all of those sort of challenges that we faced, my creativity was absolutely zero. And it was great that doing the podcast, I had to do it, and it was that excuse, and it was that thing that forced me to just keep going. But which is fantastic, just to get through that rut of not wanting to do anything. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know that we feel that with the outlet that the podcast allows of that creativity. If you don't get to use it maybe in your day-to-day job, being able to come home and make a graphic, make a sound, make a video, like it's really beneficial, just like for mental health even, just to kind of relax and do it. Have a good time, let go of the stress of the day, and then, you know, the benefit on the back end that you've created something very unique for yourself. That's really awesome.
Well, that's what me and James say, is like, you know, being a bit sentimental about it, but, you know, we put out an hour's worth of video of us talking every single week, and that's out there. And, you know, in 10 years time or whatever that may be, it'll be crazy looking back at it. And, you know, our kids are older and we can, they're aware of what we do. And you know, I'll say my two are a bit older and we'll say, oh, yeah, we're talking to these guys from America and, you know, this sort of thing. You know, they'll be able to look back at all of this stuff, and there'll be that sort of archive of their dads doing silly stuff, which is so cool to have.
Or not even that. Even when looking back and seeing your dad's talking to whoever it is, Chris and Carl from that
Chris and Carl.
Good catch up.
Yeah. My dad's worked at one point, I swear.
Yeah.
But even, I mean, from a podcasting perspective, I started getting involved in it, seems like years ago now, with my mate Steve, who's got his own podcast. Or it's more of a YouTube channel now, but SCW, the wrestling channel. I told him to start doing that because me and Steve have known each other since we were like 11, and we've both been passionate about wrestling from when we were young. And Steve is like levels above me on knowledge. He'll tell you the inside out of any event because he's watched too much.
It's easy to do.
I don't know how he gets away with it, to be honest. We used to sit there and talk for like 2 hours about what was going on, and he'd rebook everything and tell me what direction this one should go in. And I'd say to him, Steve, you should put this on YouTube or in a podcast because people will listen to this.
Yeah.
And he was the same. I mean, this guy's, he's a karaoke DJ. So when he's got a mic in his hand, he's the most confident person you'll ever meet. But outside of that, he's actually quite a shy guy.
Sure.
I mean, if you ever see the episode he came on ours, he was quite held back when he met.
He was quite reserved.
Yeah, he was quite reserved. But when he's talking about wrestling, he's so passionate about it. And he started that up, and now it's funny because I look back at him from when he started doing his videos, and where he's at now is like levels beyond. Do you know what I mean? And he does that all on his own, all the social media, he's like in charge of it all. Where I think me and Matt, and I'm sure it's the same for you guys, I'm quite fortunate that Matt takes care of all the editing stuff and creating a lot of the artwork and things like that, and the music and theme tunes, and I'll just crack on with the social media. So it's just about making sure it's all out there on time and so forth. So,
which I'm very fortunate of, because I wouldn't really be that interested in doing that side of things.
Matt don't even look at his own social media, let alone ours. I have to remind him that I've posted something.
It's a perfect partnership, you know, it's that equal sort of balance. And what's been nice is James has got really involved, where he's been doing the social side of things. A lot now of the sort of the posts that you see are all James's creations, like the reviews and the images associated to all of that are all James's sort of side of things, which is awesome. I think beforehand you wouldn't have necessarily viewed yourself as creative necessarily.
Yeah, Matt would have usually done that. Yeah,
Whereas it's just one of those things that's blossomed, exactly. That's it, from it.
Yeah.
You just learn these new skills, which is really cool.
Check out the latest one, guys, the Matrix trailer. That was today's one.
Yeah,
I'm quite proud of that.
Which we need to talk about.
I was very pumped. Well, I think we'll probably shift over here. I know that's exciting. There's a few other things, the what if stuff, but it's cool to hear because I noticed that you had started doing that, and I know I've commented on a few of them with some of my thoughts and stuff. So I've started to get in that habit of, like, when something comes out, I'm like, you know, James and Matt are going to put their post out about it.
But it's one of them things, isn't it? Like, I don't know about you guys, but even from me looking after the social media stuff, it's quite full on if you've got to try and interact with everyone and engage with everything. I think we've spoken about this before, but some of the people that we've contacted in the past that are podcasters, they've come back to me and said, oh, I'm just the social media manager. I'll speak to the guys who do it. I'm thinking, God, have you got someone employed for you?
Yeah.
But it is like, if you've got someone who can constantly be going on all the social media platforms or whatever ones they're on and interacting, that's great, because your engagement's going to be awesome. I love now, like, especially the ones certainly that we're friends with, like you guys and other guests that we've had, I love interacting more with them because, you know, they're putting out stuff that, one, you'll be interested in, and you feel like it's good kind of opinions as well.
Yeah.
Right.
So I appreciate when you guys do. So thanks for that. You're helping us out.
Yeah, it's a bunch of fun.
Well, I was going to say, it goes both ways, because I know when we post something new or a game, I know recently we did like Metal Slug, like hearing from the various people that we interact with and you guys as well, like hearing your opinion on like, oh, I haven't played that, or wrestling recaps, like, oh, I saw that match too, like that was kind of crazy. I think following up of SummerSlam to dip into wrestling for a bit, I know Chris, you and James had quite a conversation about the various things that happened on that pay-per-view. So it's kind of awesome to hear other people's opinions, whether it's the same as yours or different than yours. It's all just perspective and just personal growth, really, for me.
Yeah. And it's nice too, because, you know, you get older, everybody has kids and like jobs and everything. So it also, I feel like it just scratches the itch of like, I just want to talk about these things.
Adult conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. And with pandemic and everything, like, we have so many less opportunities to be sitting at the bar or, you know, at a party or whatever, and getting those needs met of, oh man, did you catch the season finale of whatever it may be? And so it helps just keep that connection.
100%.
So we don't let anybody come on this show without answering this question. And I know we kind of probably touched on some of the things, but it can be anything that you want as far as how you respond. And so I'll throw it to you, James, but what have you been geeking out on lately?
What have I been geeking out? I've been geeking out on a lot. but yeah, probably the one that got me this week in particular was What If. I'm really enjoying that. It started slow for me. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know where. I can't remember if we had any sort of discussion about this, but for me, and I know Matt's not as up to date as it as I am, but...
Well, I've watched the first episode.
He's watched the first episode. But when I watched that first one, my expectations were that it was going to fit somewhere in the wider MCU. And for me, I was a little bit disappointed afterwards, because I was like, oh, it felt very carbon copy to Captain America. It was Captain Carter, wasn't it, the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was too similar. Whereas, obviously, you've changed the main character around, but I felt like this series is just getting better and better with every episode. And this week's one for me was like, I felt last week's was really good, and then this week's just gone and topped it again. I was literally like hooked to it. And I'm not a massive, like, and we've had a few of them on, but comic book fan. So I'm not like, I haven't got a huge collection at all. If ever I do, I'm usually borrowing one. I had The Killing Joke for about 2 years and I never even read it. But I've actually got in front of me, which good old Question Mark has lent me, which is The History of the Marvel Universe, which is...
Oh, nice.
It looks like a big read, to be honest, so I'll probably...
there's lots of pictures in it, though.
There's lovely pictures. No, but that, I mean,
coming
that's...
in 2026.
Exactly. So we'll do a review. We'll post a review on it. But so for me, I love now where I'm at watching that, because I take it as its own thing rather than trying to worry about what it might lead to, or is there going to be a post-credit scene or something? And the episode's, what, 25, 30 minutes long, so they're quite
right.
easily digestible for me. So yeah, that'd be my answer on that. Sorry, it's quite long-winded.
No, it's all good. It's perfect. It's been very relevant lately. What about you, Matt?
Well, you actually mentioned the thing that I'm going to talk about. In terms of gaming for me, gaming for me has sort of almost been put to the side because my boys dominate the Xboxes and they're playing whatever. And there are so many games, I think, you know, because time is never on my side, there are so many games, and I think we maybe talked about that when you was on our show, that you get a game and it needs 100 hours or something like that to play. And I just think I just can't invest
right.
that much time into it. And there was a game called The Big Con, which I saw sort of the preview trailer probably over a year ago. And it's a little indie game. And I've been following the studio who's made it for the past year or so, and just keeping up to date with the game. And it finally came out on the 31st. And what really attracted me to the game was it's sort of a 90s nostalgia game. And visually it looks like Doug is the best way to describe it. It's got that awesome. Sort of yeah. feel to it. And it's about a girl she discovers her mum's video shop is in danger of closing down because her mum's had to borrow money off of some loan sharks and they want the money back.
Yeah.
And they've given her a week to pay her back. As all teenage girls would do, she becomes a pickpocket and steals from the general public and goes on this road trip of crime to get the money to pay off the debt, basically. Well, so there's a stealth element that you creep up to people and there's a little sort of mechanic in terms of how you take the money, and you can listen into people's conversations and find out what they want. And then you can steal it off someone else and then like sell that thing back to the people that they want. And
nice.
And there are little side sort of missions and things. And it's only about, I think it took me 4.5 hours start to finish to play through. And I just found myself, so I did it in 2 evenings. I just sat there, headphones on, and just got lost in it, which I haven't done for so long. But it's not, I think I said in my review that we put on Instagram, I always worry when things are, like if they say, oh, this is 90s sort of thing, like having come of age in the 90s, I'm sort of a bit, oh, is it really? You know, or is this just like a fake 90s?
Yeah.
But the way that, like I said, it looks, you know, the animation style, it looks like Doug. There are references to different things in there, but not in the way that if you weren't aware of that era, you'd be alienated by it as such. There's just the odd comment here and there, and there are, like, instead of Furbies, they're called Burbos, and there are, like, references to the films of the time, because there are lots of video shops you can go in. There are, like, plays on the big films at the time, like, in terms of their titles. It's got a really cool soundtrack, and it's just complete. I was completely immersed in it, and it's the first time a game has done that really to me. It's awesome. First game I've finished in a very long while as well.
The indie games are perfect.
So check it out.
Yeah, is it Xbox, Switch, PlayStation?
It's only Xbox and on Steam at the moment. But it's only it was £10, so it's probably like the equivalent in dollars. It's a cheap purchase, definitely. It's awesome.
I didn't put two and two together with the name, but I am notorious for just kind of like every week I'll go out to the Game Pass or the store and just like,
yeah,
what has come out, especially because a lot of those indie games, they get no promotion. You just either find them or you don't, right?
Yeah.
And I think I saw that now, because once you said about the video store and the daughter, you know, pickpocketing to try and save it and everything, I remember that caught my attention and I was like, that's kind of a interesting premise. But then I moved on. I might have to go back and give it another look.
Definitely do. Thoroughly recommend it.
Anything that's crazy immersive like that is going to tick my boxes there, because I think of like, a long time ago, I talked about a game called The First Tree, and it was a little indie game on the Switch, and very similar to kind of like how you described that. It was only 2 hours long, maybe, but for those 2 hours, I was just zoned in. And in that game, you're like a little fox and you're running around the woods and just doing basic things. Nothing crazy. You know, it's not the Avengers or Assassin's Creed and, you know, tons of mechanics and buttons that you have to remember. Just very straightforward. But it was so immersive and just kind of almost emotional to some extent, like just to do it and complete it. It was a lot of fun. And just, you know, that's what gaming's all about for me, is just having a good time.
Exactly. And while Matt's been completing the game in 2 nights, I'm still probably only 5% of the way in Assassin's Creed Valhalla. So, yeah, you know, and I've been playing it.
And you've been playing it
forever.
For 6 months or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's huge.
Yeah. As Chris likes to point out, I never made it out of Norway.
Yeah, like,
I'm in England.
I never made it to England in that game. Like, I think I did. I don't think I made it to London in that game.
No, I haven't got that far yet.
Yeah, that's a good like 60 hours in, I think. Well, Matt, since you're an Xbox guy, I will throw out here another good indie game, because I played it not too long ago and it was like 10 or 20 bucks. You know, it was relatively cheap, but I think it was Xbox and Steam only. Same deal. It's called Death's Door. And it's like a top-down kind of action platformer, but it wasn't too difficult, maybe 10 hours. And you play as a little crow with a lightsaber that is reaping souls. And it's got this like noir, you know, cell shaded cartoony design to it. Weird story, but somehow just sucked you in. So if you're into kind of those games right now or don't have a lot of time, that'd be another one I'd suggest you check out, because it was I couldn't put it down. That like a whole week I just played and beat it.
One I need to revisit, and you've just reminded me, say noir. It's called Backbone. I don't know if you've seen that. And that's on Game Pass. You play a raccoon detective. So it's sort of a point and click thing.
Okay.
And side scrolling. And you're a raccoon. It's a bit, if you've seen Zootropolis or Zootopia, was it called in the US? Yeah. It's essentially that, like the first gig you get as a detective is an otter who's lost her husband. And it turns out like this otter has been doing
drugs.
This drug called monkey butt. And it's all sort of like animal themed. But you have to go in the bar and talk to people and find out whether he's been there. But it's quite adult as well. It's the swearing in it, and there's murder in it and things like that. So cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Another one that I need to finish that one now.
I've got back into, Carl, have you both got PlayStation 5s? I can't remember if it was just you, Carl.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we both have them.
I'm the dual guy. I kind of go back.
You're the dual guy. That's right. Yeah. I've got back into, because my little boy is getting into gaming more and more now, and we've been playing Ratchet and Clank, but the remastered one that's on, I think it's just a free one you can download.
Yeah.
I forgot how good a game it is. Such a good game, and I'm sure it was you, Carl, that was playing the new, is it Rift Apart or something like that?
Yeah, we had both just played Rift Apart, and I actually didn't grow up playing that game and went back kind of like, oh, Rift Apart's going to come out and I'm definitely going to buy it. So I went and played the little remaster. Yeah, that game is a ton of fun.
Mm.
Like, in just very, very similar to, it sounds like, the Backbone here, where, you know, you're a goofy little animal character running around doing goofy things. And
but even like the weapons, the yeah, weapons like are the cool weapons. On it and yeah. Things like that.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm a sucker for any game that brings a smile to my face. Like, that doesn't make me want to break a controller, and just I'm just having a good time. I'm a child at heart. So,
but the thing is, we mentioned Valhalla there, and there's games like that, and The Last of Us, which I thought was incredible, and they're proper intense. The graphics are incredible, but you got to remember them platformers and, you know, them fun games,
right?
Where the same elements apply essentially, but it's just a lot more cartoony and a lot more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rift Apart, I think, came in around 30 hours, so it was like in that in-between, and I remember like my only real complaint about it was that I just wanted more because it was so fun, and Sony threw the premium price tag on it, so it kind of is like getting that weird spot these days of like what's worth it, what's not, you know, how long should a game be for $70, $80, but like I just wanted more because it was literally just start to finish bonkers, you know, insane graphics, you know, the whole nine yards, and that same spirit that they captured back in the day with the older ones. So if you're playing the remaster, I would suggest grabbing Rift Apart when you're done.
In fact, I actually remember listening to your guys' episode reviewing that game. And that, I think that was the reason why I said to my son, I was like, let's give that remaster. I'm sure I've seen that as a free download. Let's give that a go.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're selling games as well.
Nice. But that's the whole point, at least for Chris and I. Like, we want to spread the love and inspire people to play new games, try new comics, like maybe something you didn't know you were into. You get into it now. Like, that's the joy of the podcast and the community that we've built. But one thing I wanted to ask, because you both have kind of brought it up here with your kids, how do you find time to dad and geek? And like any pro tips that you have out there? So go to James first here. I know you said you've been playing Ratchet and Clank with your kids. Like, is that kind of involving them? Or what's a pro tip you could give to those geek dads out there?
Well, so my son, he's coming up for 5. He loves playing on the PlayStation. He's not a fan if there's bad guys. So if there's bad guys that he's got to beat, then he'll pass that on to me. So, you know, I'm the pro, obviously.
Yeah.
Even to a point, I mean, my wife says to me all the time, like, you shouldn't be playing these games. If they've got violence in them, I'm not happy about this. And I said, okay, I'll find another game. And yesterday, a couple of days ago, the new games were released on the PlayStation Plus or whatever. And Overcooked was on there, and I've never played it. I think me and Matt had spoken about it. Downloaded that. We started playing it, and the first thing, you had to feed this giant monster. He went, Daddy, over to you. And I was like, okay, I'm on this. And I was hooked. So, I mean, it's the benefit, I guess, is the fact that if your son is that young, or your daughter is that young, that they're not quite ready, then you get to fill in. So, but yeah. I want to get into all like the superhero stuff with him, but there's kind of, I don't know. When he watches superheroes, he then thinks he is that superhero and wants to fight me. So, because then yeah. I have to be the bad guy.
Yeah. Right.
That can be a tricky thing.
Power Rangers. I found with my boys when they were younger, Power Rangers, as soon as they discovered that, just fighting. Like, regardless where it was. That's it. Showing Power Rangers, James, it'll be game over.
Yeah. For Chris and I, it was when we discovered wrestling. And then we started, like, you know, wrestling with each other as kids, and that's how I ended up with broken bones and stitches. So.
I remember watching wrestling when I was a lot young. I mean, Matt, you watched wrestling when you were younger, in the 50s.
Were you a big Bruno Sammartino fan?
No, my era was Ultimate Warrior and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and those sort of ones.
Yeah, but I felt like I used to watch wrestling a lot younger, and that's a no-no now, apparently, for my boy. But, you know, when he was a baby, I would watch it and hope that he was keeping a sly eye on it. But, yeah, it's not come out just yet.
It's all right. Today it's all for kids. Me and Kyle, we were young, like right in the heart of the Attitude Era, so, you know, we came out fine.
I don't know. Well, there is that. I was the same, so I came out fine. But I kind of look at it now, when you've got
DX suck it everywhere.
Stone cold.
Yeah.
I've shown Matt pictures, because if something's happening in wrestling that kind of, you know, like CM Punk coming back and things like that, I'll talk to Matt about it, even though Matt hasn't necessarily got an interest in wrestling, it's still kind of...
It's still interesting, yeah, to hear.
Yeah.
If I show Matt kind of what the reaction was when Punk came back after however 7 years or whatever, like, it was electric, it gave you goosebumps, do you know what I mean? It was such a feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
But then from relating back to what we were talking about with kids of today, like, if my boy watched when, say, The Fiend was on,
yeah,
I'd give him nightmares. You know what I mean? There are elements, and I think when we were younger, you had that with characters like The Undertaker or
right.
Mankind or Kane or people like that. But
yeah,
you were never. I was never thinking, oh God, do you know what I mean? Where they are actually quite terrifying masks that guy wears.
Oh yeah,
Fiend was next level with that. Like, Fiend scared me a little bit with that mask.
Do you remember that one, Matt? I showed you that guy.
Yeah, I do.
Crazy mask. Yeah, I guess it is all relative, you know. kids are gaming a lot younger now than when I was younger. I mean, I had the Nintendo, but you think of the difference in games now compared, it's all, you know, they're privileged.
Right.
For sure. I say we could shift it over to Matt. Any pro tips for those geeking dads out there?
Unintentionally, really. I would just say bring them into your world with these sort of things. And it's that proud moment when, you know, my boys are in Star Wars because it's always been around them. They're in superheroes because it's always been around them. I'm fortunate enough, this room that I'm in is sort of my little man cave as such. And I've got sort of figures up there and pop figures and, you know, Star Wars figures and stuff. And I've always had music grounds me, and it's great because I can watch, me and my youngest, who's 8, we'll watch Teen Titans Go and sort of cartoons like that, which we absolutely love, which I think is hilarious. Or we'll watch some of the, I introduced him to the Christopher Reeve Superman film.
Oh, yeah.
and things like that, yeah. Which I grew up with, which I absolutely adore, and they still stand up, you know, now. Yeah. in terms of great films. Whereas I'm currently watching Stranger Things with my oldest, who's now 13. He wanted to watch that, and he knew not I'd seen it, so we were watching that together. And even things like Big Bang Theory, he loves that now, so, like my oldest. So we watch. So it's just, you know, not being shy of sharing all that stuff. But they both love gaming because I've always... They've known that I've done it. I've always had an Xbox. There's always been controllers around. They've always sort of been a part of that. But equally, I mean, touching on what James has said, I am still quite strict at sort of filtering what they have access to, because I think there are... I was having a conversation with my oldest the other day of, you know, why can't I watch that? Yeah, or why can't I play Call of Duty? I'm like, well, because it's an 18 and you're not.
Right.
And it's an 18, yeah, for a reason. And that the common thing they'll often say is, oh, but has it got swearing in it? That seems to be the benchmark. It's got swearing in it, so I can't play. It's like, well, no, it's deeper than that, you know, but you're too young. I can't tell you why you can't play it, but it's not appropriate for you. So, you know, I think, you know, they still have to grow up at a sensible pace, but there's so much stuff out there that you can share. Like with the Superman, I will show, you know, my youngest the older Supermans because they're more PG than the older one, the sort of the newer Avengers films and things like that. They're aimed at a much more sort of teen sort of market, aren't they? So my eldest has seen all of those. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of the next generation looks like, because for people our age, there was already video games and a lot of in pop culture and comic books and stuff, you know, in the 60s, 70s, not video games, but 70s, 80s, you know, that all that stuff was starting to come up and up. But still, I think it, in the 90s, it was still so new and it was still just coming into the homes, you know, more than it had.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like our parents looking back, like, really had no freaking clue, like, what was going on, you know, or like what a certain game was, what they were buying their kids, yeah, you know. Like, yeah. I know that just looking, I definitely got away with some stuff I probably never should have, just because mom and dad had no idea.
Yeah.
I remember nagging and getting to watch, it was RoboCop, I think my friends would say, I must have been probably about 13 or something like that, and nagging my mum and saying, but all my friends have seen it. And in the end, she let me. And there's so much in RoboCop,
right,
that I've never let my 13-year-old watch.
Where's the new game?
But, yeah, awesome film. But yeah, it's, you're right. I don't think there was that awareness necessarily of some of these things.
I also don't think there was that many... Were there that many games that were necessary? Like, we talk about Call of Duty, was there that many games? I mean,
Mortal Kombat and Doom, those sort of things.
Yeah, it was like Toon Combat, or like Kyle mentioned, we were talking Metal Slug, where like all the bullets had to be like animated blobs. Like, it wasn't realism, hyper-realism
exactly
that we get now.
No.
Yeah. But what I was going to go with it is, I just think it's kind of cool, because not that there weren't people, but like my grandfather was a huge influence on me for how I got into games, because he was ahead of his time as far as always having Nintendos and stuff, but my parents were not. And now it's just the net of pop culture, gaming, comics, whatever, so much wider and more accepted that, like, anybody our age, we're doing what you're talking about like pulling the kids along right along with you and exposing them to different stuff. And so I'm like, the super geeks you all are creating for the next generation are just going to blow all of us out of the water, because they're going to have this historical context. They're going to grow up in this world that's all they know. And I don't know, it's just going to be interesting to watch in like another 10, 20 years.
Well, when we spoke to, just a bit of a shameless plug for our show again, when we spoke to a gentleman called David J. Fielding, who was Zordon in the Power Rangers, who was such a nice guy, but he's a big fan of, has been a lifelong fan of sort of comic books and things like that, and he's an older gentleman now. I'd say he's probably in his 60s, isn't he, maybe, something like that. But one of the things he said was that we'd asked him about, you know, what do you think about it now and the culture now and where it is, but a lot more mainstream. And he, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, it's almost like all the geeks from my era are saying, I was right. You know, it's, you should listen to us 20 years ago when we were talking about this stuff. And it's true, isn't it?
Even when we grew up, I mean, like, if you were, like, the true comic book nerd or, like, only talked about video games, like, you were still kind of outcasted as, like, the weirdo, you know, and that was just in the late 90s, early 2000s, and now it's, like, the opposite. Like, if you're not into Roblox and Minecraft, like, what are you even doing, kid? You know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Well, I think of when we were in school, like, along the same lines, kids that would play Magic the Gathering or Pokemon cards at the lunch table were kind of like, oh, don't go talk to those kids. And now you walk through a high school and there's probably three or four tables of kids getting down on some sort of card game. Like, you know, it may be Uno, but it's something.
The thing I think, which is quite surprising for me with my oldest, is a lot of his friends are really deep into anime. And that seems to be a really big thing for his age group, which was something growing up I was aware of, you know, things like Akira and Ghost in the Shell and those sort of things, which I love, which, again, I've sort of discussed with him to a certain extent. But, yeah, they're well into, you know, they've got Crunchyroll and they're watching all these different, like, Demon Slayer and the newer ones, which are awesome. But it's cool that part of like Japanese culture is sort of seeping into it as well.
There's so much more access too, you know, the beauty of the internet and the streaming services and things like that. I mean, you had to work hard to find anime back in the 90s, you know, you had to be knowing what you're looking for, finding the videos or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Now there's a million channels, a million streaming services, and YouTube.
It's all in English, and you know, you don't have to read subtitles for that. It's all dubbed. Yeah.
I'd also say as well, because it's still something of interest. I mean, even going, if it's not anime, it's superheroes and whatever. Because we're all interested, I'm sure you guys have, but me and Matt, we share a Disney Plus account.
Oh yeah,
I've got Netflix, I've got Amazon.
Yeah, you're
not
supposed
Sky.
To say that publicly.
You can, you can.
The mouse will come for you.
They're coming for me.
Yeah, they've heard already. It's not even live.
God.
Yeah, Mickey's going to drop down like Mission Impossible style and take things up and out.
Oh God, what have I done?
It's in your name. I don't
change
care. It's in your name.
Change the password. oh God. But we've got all these different platforms now, like in our homes, which, I mean, when I grew up, I think I was lucky at one point I had Sky maybe, and that was it. You didn't have all them different options. So
yeah.
I think now, like you said, the kids of today, I mean, my boy, annoyingly, still watches the same thing over and over again, but I love Bluey, so, you know, I can't cry about it because he's a legend.
A kid's thing that I've discovered that's a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine, which I missed, I was far too old to watch it at the time, which is on Disney Plus. It's a program called Teacher's Pet, which is about, it's about 2001, 2002, something like that. And it's about a boy and his dog, and the dog basically feels that he can do better. so that he dresses up as a kid and goes to school with his owner. It's so cool. I absolutely love it. And it's got a really cool style to it. Like it's very stylized. It's done, me being the geek I am, I researched who did it, like the style and so on. And apparently it's the guy who did the game, was it Cranium? I think that it was a board game called Cranium, yeah. And it had a very specific sort of picture on it.
Yeah.
And all the characters look in that same sort of style. But yeah, it's so much fun. My son came in the other day and I'm sitting there at lunch watching Teacher's Pet. He's like, are you really watching this? Yeah, don't judge me. Well,
if it's good, it's good, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Want to give us one last shout out to where people can find you if they're listening? They want to check you out?
Yeah, you can find us on social media. We're on Instagram predominantly. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And as Matt said earlier, we're shamelessly on TikTok as well. And then to listen to us or to watch our show, where are we, Matt? Everywhere. That's right, everywhere. And on YouTube as well.
This Week in Metropolis. Go check it out. Well, thanks for joining us. This was a ton of fun. Kyle, any last words?
No, just thank you guys for joining us, geeking out on just about everything. I think I picked up like 2 or 3 new games, a new show. Like, I've got so much to go check out now. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thanks for having us. Yeah. Been a pleasure as always, and hopefully speak to you again soon.
Yep, until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this discussion, go ahead and smash the subscribe button so you never miss a chapter of Geek Ketchup, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Also, be sure to follow GK on social media. You can find links to all of our accounts on the show notes below and on our website, geekketchuppodcast.com. There's even links to our merch store and Patreon if you'd like to support the show. But as always, remember to stay saucy, you nerds.